We'll be reading from verse 15 through verse 27. Ezekiel 24, beginning with verse 15, hear God's word. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently, make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put on your shoes on your feet. And do not cover your mustache and do not eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. And in the morning I did as I was commanded. The people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things that you are doing mean for us? Then I said to them, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and the delight of your soul. And your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, will fall by the sword. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will not be on your heads, your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities, and you will groan to one another. Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you, according to all he has done. You will do. When it comes, then you will know that he has... Verse 24, once again. Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of His Word. The little picture on the website was that of some men, Jewish folk, and some Gentiles at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Perhaps you've seen some pictures taken from that place. In the middle of the picture, there was a man with a yellow shirt. And the caption on the picture reads like this. The guy in the bright yellow shirt is my buddy, Pastor Steve Hayes. We both had quite an experience at the wall and felt the presence of God there. This spot was very important to me. I got to know the Lord in a new way that day. Quite astounding, here it was a Christian man going to a particular spot in Jerusalem, this Western Wall or Wailing Wall, and confessing that he got to know the Lord in a new way in that particular location, which is all that is left with regard to the temple in Jerusalem, the ancient temple. And it was at that location that this Christian said, I met the Lord in a new way. I would submit to you that the temple in Jerusalem has gone by the board, and that the reason the temple in Jerusalem has gone by the board is that Jesus Christ has come. And for Christians, for people like you and me, the ancient temple is not to be the delight of one's eyes. But Jesus Christ is to be the delight of your eyes. And so that's the point I want you to get this evening, is that when God took away that temple, the delight of the eyes of the Jewish folk, He sets before you Jesus Christ. And you are to delight in Him. This, I think, is where the text this evening in Ezekiel chapter 24 takes us. Look with me, if you would, now at verses 15 and 16. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. I can hardly conceive of being in a situation where God would say to me, as a pastor, I'm going to take away your wife as an object lesson for the church. And this is exactly what God was doing with Ezekiel. He was taking his wife away from him, the delight, the desire of his eyes. If any of you who are married, and any of you who have children, could easily empathize with Ezekiel in this particular circumstance, thinking about the fact that God had done this with Ezekiel. In our modern day circumstances, the scenario might be something like this, that a group of people have been called together by God, having come out of a liberal church or liberal denomination. And they're quite glad to be able to form a church together. And when they do, they call you as their pastor. And after you teach there for a little while, you realize that, oh, they're not all excited about what you're teaching. They're not interested in what the Bible has to say about various things. They like their church quite nicely, thank you, and they don't like you tampering with what they're doing. In other words, the delight of their eyes is this little church. And now you've come in and you started preaching and you've upset the apple cart. And God comes along and he says to you, well, I'm going to teach them a little lesson. And the way that I'm going to do this is I'm going to take your wife away from you. About that time, I would say, time out. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. But you see, this is exactly what's going on in Ezekiel's life. God is taking the desire of his eyes away from him. Now, look down at verse 21. Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, will fall by the sword. You see, the ancient Jewish folk were looking at Jerusalem and looking at the temple as the delight of their eyes. This was the end all and the be all. Well, God will never destroy Jerusalem, his city, and he certainly wouldn't take away the temple, his house. And it's the delight of his eyes, and it's the delight of our eyes. To help you understand this a little bit better, let's go back to the Western Wall. This Western Wall is a part of a retaining wall that was built by Herod when he expanded the temple. And above this retaining wall that Herod built, the temple existed, and Herod expanded the temple, and thus the need for this retaining wall. And the temple faced east. And so if you were going to enter the temple, you would come in from this direction, and as you would enter the temple, you'd go through the outer court, and then you'd enter the holy place where the table of showbread was and the altar of incense and the candelabra. And then you would come to the Holy of Holies. And just outside the temple was that Western Wall. And Jewish people today, some of them believe that God permanently chose this place where the Holy of Holies existed as His permanent dwelling place. And so if you come to the Western Wall, you come to the place where God has chosen to dwell, the closest place you can possibly come in the modern world to where God has chosen to dwell. At least that's the idea of the Jews. You see, so this Western Wall, therefore, has become a sacred place in Judaism. It is a hallowed place, probably the most sacred place that an individual would come. And so this place, you see, has become the desire of the eyes of the Jewish people. Now you can imagine if just this piece of retaining wall that exists now is the desire of the eyes of the Jewish people, how it must have been when the temple actually existed, you see. That it was the desire of the eyes, the delight of the Jewish people. And you can remember the disciples when they were in Jerusalem and they said to Jesus, "Look at the temple. How grand it is. And how wonderful it is." It was the delight of their eyes, you see. And of course, Jesus said, "Well, be careful now, because that temple is going to come down. And not one stone is going to be upon another." Well, this is exactly what Ezekiel is saying in verse 21. "Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and the delight of your soul, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword." So God was going to take away the delight of the Jewish eyes, just like He was taking away Ezekiel's wife. You see, that's the connection the text is making. Now, let's orient ourselves quickly on the historical situation. You'll notice at the end of verse 21 it says, "And your sons and your daughters whom you have left behind will fall by the sword." You see, Ezekiel and some of the Jewish folk were already in Babylon in exile. But the city of Jerusalem was still standing. And while Ezekiel was prophesying in Babylon, back in Jerusalem, Jeremiah was prophesying the downfall of that great city. And Ezekiel was complimenting Jeremiah's ministry back in Jerusalem. And so you have the situation in which Ezekiel is saying, and God is saying through Ezekiel, "I'm going to show the people that the desire of their eyes, their temple is going to be destroyed by taking your wife away from you." Now the startling thing here is that God said to Ezekiel, "You're not to mourn." Look at our text again, verses 16 and 17. "Son of man, behold, I am about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. Groan silently. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put on your shoes, put your shoes on your feet, and do not cover your mustache, and do not eat the bread of men." Don't act like someone who's mourning. You can groan inside silently, but don't make any outward, overt, visible expressions of mourning. Keep your turban on your head. In other words, don't take it off and throw dust on your head, as was the custom. And keep your shoes on your feet. Don't walk around in the dust as though you were mourning. And cover your face. The New American Standard Version says, "Don't cover your mustache." And some of the other versions say, "Don't cover your lip." And the reference is, don't cover your face as though you were in mourning. You see, you're not to do those things. You're not to mourn the death of your wife. Now, look at our text again. Look down in our text. Verses 22 and 23. You will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache. You will not eat the bread of men. Your turbans will be on your head, and your shoes on your feet. You will not mourn, and you will not weep, but you will rot away in your iniquities, and you will groan to one another. You see, Ezekiel is now saying to the exiles, when Jerusalem falls, you're not to mourn. Just like I do not mourn the loss of my wife, you are not to mourn. You're not to throw dust on your heads. You're not to kick around in the dust with bare feet. You're not to cover your face. And furthermore, when God told this to Ezekiel, he said, when the people bring food after the funeral, don't pay any attention to the food that they bring after the funeral. This would be pretty astounding, would it not? And so Ezekiel says to the people, when you get the word that Jerusalem has fallen, you too are not to mourn. Well, I want to fast forward now. And I want you to take notice of the fact that a similar thing occurs in the time of Jesus. That is, Jesus speaks about the destruction of the temple, just like Ezekiel speaks about the destruction of the temple. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew 21. And in Matthew 21, we find the triumphal entry. Jesus coming into Jerusalem to the songs of the people and to the praise of the people. And after the triumphal entry, in verse 12, it says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. The cleansing of the temple. You remember this story. You probably couldn't imagine going to a great big garage sale and somebody coming in and starts throwing over all the tables. That wouldn't be very acceptable conduct, would it? Well, it wasn't found to be very acceptable by those who were in the temple in that day. And then Jesus says to those who are in the temple, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And Jesus rebukes the Jews. But you are making it a robber's den. Jesus says to those Jewish folk in the temple, you are treating the temple, my temple, the temple of the living God, as a robber's den. Like a bunch of robbers who go out and commit their crimes and they come back into the temple, into their cave, as it were, and think that they have a place of refuge. And they're safe there. No, you're profaning the temple. You're not utilizing the temple properly. Now, Jesus here says that they're treating the temple as a robber's den. And the people in Jesus' day would know full well that Jesus is referring to a sermon that Jeremiah preached in front of the temple. Long ago, where he accused the people in his day and the people of Ezekiel's day of misusing the temple and treating it as a robber's den. And of course,
The temple was then destroyed by God.
And they were getting the message. Some of the commentators tell us that this was the beginning of the end for Jesus. Now, if you would, turn to the 23rd chapter of Matthew. The triumphal entry and the cleansing of the temple, if you will, takes place on the first day of the week. And then Monday goes by, and now we're into Tuesday. And on Tuesday, Jesus says in verse 37 of Matthew 23, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate." And Jesus walks away from the temple. Your house is being left to you desolate. The glory of God in the form of Jesus Christ departs from the temple and says, your house is being left to you desolate. And if that were not enough, finally, on the Friday of that same week, turning to Matthew 27, and verses 50 and 51, we note this. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split." And when Jesus Christ yielded up his spirit on that cross, it was, as it were, that God himself was reaching down and took in his hands the top of that veil, and he rent it in two, thus rendering that temple forever obsolete. Because the death of Jesus Christ had occurred. The death that once for all pays for the sins of people like you and me. Animal sacrifices would not do. Animal sacrifices simply pointed forward to the death of Jesus Christ. And now that his death was accomplished, that temple was indeed rendered obsolete. And to show that this was the case, a few years later, the Roman armies came into Jerusalem and destroyed that place of worship. And the writer to the book of Hebrews tells us very plainly that God took away the first, that is, the sacrifices and the temple, in order to establish the second, that is, the work of Jesus Christ. With this in mind, go back now, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24. You can imagine that the people observing Ezekiel and seeing his lack of mourning at the death of his wife were beginning to ask some questions. They knew that he was a prophet. They knew that he spoke the truth of God. And so if you look at verses 18 and 19 in Ezekiel 24. "So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died, and in the morning I did as I was commanded. The people said to me, "Will you not tell us what these things that you are doing mean for us?" Yes, the people wanted to know what these things meant. But they wanted to know not only what they meant, but you notice the text says, "What do these things mean for us?" This was not anything that was abstract. This was personal. What does this mean for us? Verse 24 in Ezekiel 24. "Thus Ezekiel will be a sign to you according to all that he has done, you will do. When it comes, then you will know that I am the Lord God." When the temple destruction finally came, what was the outcome to be? The people were to know that the Lord is indeed God, and that He is the King of all. And it is to Him that we all owe our worship and our adoration, you and me. And wasn't it the exact same circumstance in the day of Jesus Christ? That when the temple was destroyed finally, what was to be the outcome? That the death of Jesus Christ was to be lifted high, and that Jesus Christ was to be lifted high and seen as the one who does pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And so there's the lesson, friends, that when God takes away the delight of Jewish eyes, that is, their temple, what does He do? He sets before you and me, Jesus Christ. You are to delight in Him. I find it very fascinating in our day that a Christian man would go to Jerusalem and make it a point to go to that wall, that western wall, and to say, "In that spot, I meet the Lord in a new way and in a significant way." And for some reason, even for this Christian, this little bit of real estate has become the delight of his eyes. Whereas the removal of the temple by God means that Jesus Christ is to be the delight of your eyes. That's the message. And I also find it fascinating. Do you not find it fascinating yourself that there are those who desire to see this temple rebuilt? And they relish the idea of the rebuilding of this temple. I say to you, as I've said to individuals in some of my classes, that this would be blasphemy, that this is an undercutting of the work of Jesus Christ, because the message in Ezekiel 24 and the message of the Bible, friends, is this: that when God removes the delight of the Jewish eye, that is, the temple, He sets before you Jesus Christ. Delight in Him. Delight in Him. Come to Him. Worship Him. Seek His face. Come to Him for refreshment. Come to Him for new life. Come to Him for forgiveness. When God removes the delight of the Jewish eye, the temple, He sets before you Jesus Christ. Delight in Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're good altogether. You are wonderful. And your Son, Jesus Christ, is and ought to be the delight of our eyes. Forgive us when we have turned aside from Him and found other things to be so desirable and a delight. Forgive us, we pray, and grant that as we go through this week, we might be regularly reminded by the prodding of your Spirit that Jesus Christ alone is to be the delight of our eyes. Not a piece of obscure real estate or an ancient temple or something on the contemporary scene, but only Jesus Christ. Bless us to this end, we pray, in His good name. Amen.